You know, I've been thinking all day about what to preach on tonight. And tonight I just want to bring some thoughts out tonight about the having patience in the labor in the Lord. Here in Revelation chapter 2, I'll start with verse 1 and we're going to read down to about 3 or 4. But it says right here in Revelation chapter 2, I really thought about just starting at the very first book. But, you know, what time we got remaining, I know that you said, ain't no bother you before. I mean, well, I know, but I know I've got to be mindful that I know there's some people in here works, and you've got to go home. And two, and not only that I know too that I'm getting to the point now that the longer I stand up here, the weaker my legs get. Because last Sunday, when I left Sunday morning, I didn't think I was going to make it. I mean, because my legs just got so tired, and I don't have no idea. I've just been thinking about maybe they can give me some walkers or something where I can put on my leg wing and help me stand up where I won't have to worry about bending over and falling. But tonight, I think the Lord really wants me to think about this tonight, and I'm praying that He will give me the very words that needs to be said. Because we are living in a time to where the laborers are few. We don't have that many more laborers out here anymore. What laborers we do have, they have so much on them. And we must be mindful to one thing. And I know what patience is. Patience worketh tribulation. And I know what that is and what it means. But the patience that I'm speaking about, we just need to slow down and think in what we are doing, if we're doing it for the Lord or not. But it says right here in verse 1, says, unto the angels of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith, he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say, they are apostles and are not, and haste, and hast found them liars, and hast bore and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Stop right there. We have seen right here, these four verses right here, we've seen where the seven churches is just coming on the scene, and we see where
John, the apostle here,
he is hearing what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to his heart. Now, this is the Lord Jesus that was speaking. And the Lord Jesus is saying to John, that wrote the book of Revelations, which is a revelation of Jesus Christ. But no, I don't think it's that. I think it's Jesus Christ and the revelation. It's the revelation that is being fulfilled from his resurrection. Now, it says in verse 2, it says, I know thy works. Here is Brother John right here. And Jesus Christ. They together. And the Lord Jesus Christ is giving him some things that he must do. And he says, in I know of thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. We'll see right here where the Lord Jesus Christ is explaining to John and about what he's about to foresee. Now we know the book of Revelations up until chapter 4. I think it's starting with about the 5th verse or 6th verse there. We know up until then the church is still on the scene. We know that the church is on the scene right here. Because he speaks of the 7 churches. But he's speaking about what they must do, what the 7 churches must do. Now, the first church was apolitic age, and it was the first love. Is the first love that where John showed unto the Lord Jesus Christ that he loved him and he was about to go and do what the Lord Jesus wanted him to do. And I got to thinking about it. Am I doing what the Lord Jesus wants me to do? You know, we like I said earlier, we do have few laborers. The laborers have diminished because the people, they have diminished away from doing God's work. They are now doing the devil's work and they don't realize it. We know too also that not only is the devil's work being done, but it's being done in a way that the people, they don't see it. They don't see what they know. They don't see what the devil is doing. People today, they don't see what the devil is doing to them. They don't realize the devil hates them. They don't realize the devil despises them. And they don't realize also that the Father that is in heaven, and then the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that came, left heaven, left the portals of glory, all the grandeur that he had, all of everything of perfect. He didn't have to worry about this, didn't have to worry about that. But his Father says, Son, I want you to go to earth where I've created the heaven and the earth.
I want you to go there because there's some things going on there that I don't like. They're not willing to go about and proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ. They will not go about telling other people about the Lord because they say, hey, we have it all now. We got it all. We can look, we can see down the road. I mean, hey, we got fields out there. We can plant stuff in the fields. But they don't realize that all of that takes God to get it done. It takes God to give them the strength, the willpower to go out and be able to plant in the fields. Over in the book of Ruth, look at the book of Ruth there, where she was going out into the field. And what happened? God granted her a double, a triple, or more portions than she could ever imagine. We know where in the book where Elijah also had a double portion. We need to say to ourselves, do we want the double portion that God has to give us? Did you realize as soon as we come into this church door tonight, as soon as we turn the light on, the first individual that come in and turn the light on, it was God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and the individual. That's four individuals. Then when another individual come in, there's another four. You don't never leave God out of nothing. If you leave God out of anything, why are we here? Why are we here? If we're going to leave God out, and if I'm going to leave God out of the message tonight, why am I here? Why am I here if I'm going to leave God out of the message? You don't want to hear somebody that's going to come up here and give you their opinions. Yes, I've got opinions. What are they worth? They're no more worth than the dirt that's on this driveway out here. Or the dirt that's on the bottom of our feet. We must always remember that Jesus Christ, He has to be lifted up. And if He's lifted up, then He will give us strength to labor. Give us strength, and He will give us the mind. And He will also give us the heart, to where we can hear that small, still voice. And he'll say, darling, you want our children. I need you to do something for me. When is the Lord going to speak to us? I believe the Lord speaks to us more than what we can really imagine. But a whole lot of times, we are just thinking about other things. We don't have our mind set on Him. I still say to this day, and I thank God for it, when I got saved, the night that I got saved, I believe that Sunday that when I went to church, God the Father, through the presence of the Holy Spirit, gave me some spiritual hearing aid that I would hear
this small, still voice. We need to come in. When we come into God's house, we need to go like him. Like we're turning in hearing aid dumb, and turn it all the way up to where we can hear that small, still voice. And when that small, still voice touches us, it's like a rushing, mighty wind. I mean, we cannot comprehend what he has for us. We cannot comprehend and what God has for us. You know, if we really knew, I'll say this. If we as Christians right here, if we really knew what God would do, because the church has been praying for it, if we knew exactly what God would do here in this church, in Faith Baptist Church, did you realize it would scare each and every one of us to death? Scare us to death. But you would tell you what? I want to be scared. I want to be scared. I want to be scared to the point that I know that the Lord's in the house. And I know the Lord is here. Because sometimes I can feel him like it's just a great big old piece of loaf of bread there, and I have to take the knife and cut it. And slice it off. I can feel his presence. And like Brother C.T. Townsend, I'll tell you what, you have never experienced the power of God until he has came and slapped you on the side of the face with a cool breeze. He's the only one that has the cool breeze. Yes, we have air conditioning. We can have air conditioning. Right now, I can set that on 15 degrees. Well, come on, run until it gets down to 15. But even being that cold in here, God can come by and tap me on side to face with his cool breeze. And his cool breeze is going to be cooler than what's coming out of the furnace and the air conditioning here. Why? Because that's the way God works. God makes sure that he can get across to his people. And we are his people. If you're saved, we are his people. Just like over in the book of, in the book of Deuteronomy, where Moses was delivering God's message. And while he was delivering God's message, Israel was concerning. They was concerning to the point that they didn't know what they was going to do when they had to go on that long journey. And the Lord Jesus give them a journey to go on. And we're on the same journey. Yes, back then, it was the nation of Israel. It was a people there in Israel. They was going about, and they was on the journey that God had placed our feet on. And they was on that journey, and they was going, and they kept on going. But they hit a roadblock. We hit roadblocks out here today also. Some things that come up against the nation of Israel
was things that they knew that they could not handle. We know over there where the fig tree, it quit blooming, it quit blossoming. It was just an old tree, is all it was. It wasn't producing anything until a second Adam come out on the scene. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Matthew chapter 24, it tells us about the fig tree. Now that fig tree in the book of Matthew chapter 24, the whole chapter there, what it does, it focuses on Israel becoming a nation again in 1948. May the 6th, 1948. And when Israel become a nation once again. And since then, the people of Israel, all the Jews that's been in Russia, they're flocking back to the home place. If you really want to follow the outcome, if you want to follow the outcome of when the Lord's going to return, you watch the news. The news that we get today, 20 or 30 years earlier than what this Bible speaks of. Because this Bible, God's precious word, He's right on time. The moment that we're living in is the moment that we're supposed to be living in according to God's word. I don't believe that there's anything else except where the Lord Jesus Christ leans over to the side of the angel there, Gabriel, and says, blow the trumpet. That's the only thing is left to happen. I mean, I don't know of anything else. Everything else has been fulfilled. I mean, we have the gays. We have men loving themselves. We have women loving themselves. And they're given in marriage. And the devil is fighting. The devil is really fighting. Last night I saw something that was on the news. Well, this morning one of the other, I forgot which it was now. That in the state of North Carolina, that they have got bills now that they trying to get passed. Some of the people, some of the Democrats, are trying their very best to get them passed. And what they are is the bathroom bill. They're trying to get that passed to where women and men can go in and children can go in to any of the bathrooms. That right there will tell anybody that has any common sense at all that right there tells you that you know child molestation is going to rapidly go higher. But the governor has come back and he says no. He says no. They said, well, we've got to have it because we've got to have the funding from the government. He said, I don't need the government. We don't need the government. Only thing we need is we need God. And I think God can do a whole lot better job than the government can do. That is the reason I
believe that the revivals are taking place. Because these individuals are taking a stand. And they let the White House up there in Washington to realize and to know, you don't come down here and dictate to us what we're going to do. We're going to start dictating to you what we're going to do. Now, if you want to come in, you want to join us, then you can. But don't come in and try to tell us what to do. There's a black senator
that was on the news here this afternoon. And I know I ain't supposed to be speaking on politics, but I'm going to tell you what.
In the Old Testament, it spoke on the government. And I think I have just as much right to say what's wrong with this country than I have to say what's right. I know it's not, I'm not politically correct, I know that. I don't understand where they even got that wrong from, anyhow, politically correct. I ain't no politician. So being politically correct is out of my reach. Because I'm no politician. This black governor of North Carolina. He's a senator. When he was voted in his Senate, there in the White House, I mean up in Washington, he was the first black senator. And a Republican on top of that. And a Republican that loves God and don't mind saying anything about it. And he says, and he's a senator for the state of Oklahoma. He's one of them. And he said that. He said this. He says, Washington can send all the money they want to. They can send all the politician down here. Obama, he can come. The vice president, they can come. Hillary Clinton, they can come. But they're not going to shut us up. They're not going to shut us up. We're going to continue in what we're doing. And we believe the way North Carolina's going right now, it's not because of my vote. It's not because of what I stand for. It's because of what the people. It's because of what the governor stands for. He said, yes, I've heard about the revival down in Burlington, North Carolina, yes. And I heard about the revival up there on the next to Tennessee in North Carolina. They went 4 weeks up there. And now I know that they, down in Burlington, they somewhere in the 7th, 8th, or 9th, or 10th week. I don't know how long. But I tell you one thing. He said, I'm praying they'll keep on going. He said, I'm praying it'll spread to Virginia. And I'm praying that it won't just stop it for Virginia. That when it gets to Virginia, go all the way to the northern part of Virginia. And then it may hit the White House. More people that's in the White House today that does not know anything at all about how this country got started. They don't know how it got started. They want to tell you their opinion. They are so far off. So far. We can labor. But as I labor in vain, I hope and pray that my labor is not in vain. I hope that my labor is bringing some kind of hope to some people. There are people out here that's hurting like they've never hurt before in their life. There are people that is facing things that they've never had to face before. There are people I hear that where they love the family, they love God, but they seem like they're up against the wall because of what else is going on. That the devil has been blinded all the people. One thing about the devil, he make him blind you. But God can give you that vision back. Amen. He can give it back to you quicker than you lost it. Sin will carry us as far as we want to go. Sin will carry us as far as we want to go. But I want to ask you this. How about serving the Lord? How far will the Lord take us? Is the question. How far will the Lord take us? Hey, I know I haven't been saved as long as some of you this evening. I know that. But I've been saved by 36 years, almost. I think it's been a couple of months, been 36 years. But let me tell you what, I'm not the same individual that I was 36 and a half years ago. I know what God promised in His Word. When God says it, that's it. It's true whether I say it's true or not. It don't make no difference what I say. If God says it, that's it. I can't change the fact. I say, well, God, you know, I just don't quite understand it because, you know, it ain't touching me that way. God said, well, son, if it's not, then you need to get a little closer to me. I'm about as close as I can get. Now you've got to get a little closer to me. I would really love something like what's happening down in Burlington, what's happening in North Carolina. We've come right across the state line over into Virginia. We got too many hard-hearted people. The heart's hardened to the point that we don't think that they can be broken. But we know that God can break that heart. He can take that heart and put it into pieces. And thank God when God takes the heart and when He breaks it, and it's in a million pieces, He can put that heart back together with no corruption, and it's going to be completely pure. I sure am glad that I had a heart transplant almost 36 years ago.
But even with the heart transplant that God did, I don't have no scar. I don't have no scar from here down to my back. I don't have no sign of what somebody went and stapled me back together. Just think about this now. The Lord transplanted our heart. He did not leave a scar, did he? But look at what our sin done to him. It left scars. Print that is in his hand. The print that is in his feet, where the spear went into his side, and the thorn, the crown of thorns, pressed down on his head. That was the scars that I left him. But he didn't leave no scars on me. He said, "Son, I want you to be perfect." Now the word perfect is not what I'm speaking of, that we go out here and we're going to be a perfect people. I'm talking about maturity. Maturity. We need to mature in the Lord. And how do we do that? Every day of our life. And being a witness for Him. And telling somebody else by His true love. Is anybody here to remember when you first got married? You didn't mind telling other people that you just got married. You didn't mind telling other people, "I love Him to death. I love her to death." I mean, we need to do the same thing with the Lord. Why? Because He's our Father. How many can remember when you took your father and went to your father and said, "I love you"? Can any of you remember that? If you can't remember it, I'm sure you did. Sometime or another. He loves me. He loves me with all of His heart. Every fiber of His being, He loves me. Not only does He love me, He loves you with all His fiber. He loves the people up in Danville. He don't want nobody to go to hell. The people right here that is not in church today, they really don't realize how hell really come about. They don't realize that the devil, which was named one time Lucifer, he was there in heaven with God. I mean, he even sat down, he even talked to God. Now, I'd be so scared to death today to do something against my Lord and knowing that I'm doing it. I got a family, I got loved ones. It's lost. I want to see him be saved before he comes back. Well, C.T. Townsend last night said something that it touched me in a way, which I've said before. But of all the mass people that they had, the mass number of people they had, he said, I want to let everyone here tonight to hear this, what I'm about to say. And I just, the people just got still. And he says, do you realize that the next soul that comes up here and gets saved, that we could be God? Do you realize that? How true that is. What that tells me, I need to start laboring for him. Yes. I need to start laboring for him more than I ever had before in my life. But hey, I'm saying I want the Lord Jesus to come quickly, like it said in the book of Revelation, in the 22nd chapter. John said, come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. He was getting tired of putting up what was going on. He just wanted to see the Lord. I want to see the Lord tonight. I really do. And I'm not scared about going home and laying my head down at night and going to sleep. I don't worry about that. If I don't wake up in the morning, I'm here in Danville, Virginia, out here on 465 Dinner Lane. If I don't wake up like that, morning does come. And I will wake up over there and ask him, what am I, Lord, what am I saying? Oh yeah, I don't want to leave my wife. I don't want to leave my daughter. I don't want to leave the church. I've got a brother that's lost. I want to see him saved. But he says, Donnie, you've done all you've run your race. It's time for you to come home and rest for a while. Yeah, I'll go home and I'm going to rest. I'm going to rest at the foot of Jesus. And I ain't going to have to worry about these old wobbly legs. I'm going to be able to get down on my knees. And I'm going to be able to look up to him. And I'm going to be able to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I hope and pray that I'll have more than one or two cranes to where I can lay his feet. I don't know. But that's what I hope for. Nothing else. I know that I'm going to heaven. The cranes, I ain't so sure about. But hey, I'm positive of that. If I go there, man, when I go to heaven, and when he steps out, and when he has put the welcoming sign out on the door of my mansion, it could be just a little room, no bigger than what they used to have around here, which was a giant house. Hey, if he give me that, and I was in heaven, with my Lord and my Savior, I've got a place to go tonight. And I can sit down and I can rest for a while. How good he's been to me. Yes. He's been so good to me that I cannot comprehend. Yet I don't understand it. I don't understand why he thinks of me. I don't understand why he loved me that much that he would stay on the cross and take my sin. I can't comprehend that. But I'm not supposed to comprehend that. I'm not supposed to understand that. The only thing I'm supposed to do is trust and believe. Believe he done it just for me. Everyone stand. Head bowed and eyes closed. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for tonight. Father, most of all, Lord, we thank you for your goodness. And we thank you for your long suffering, Lord. And we pray, God, tonight, Father, that you would touch each one of the hearts that are here. And Lord, we need to get together once again. We just need to gather here at the house and just have nothing but prayer. And Father, I don't know what night or what time or when the people want to gather. But I think we need to do it where all the people can be together. And Lord, the way we can pray, the Father, that you would use each and every one of us. The Father, where we can go about building and laboring you. Laboring for this church. Laboring for this fellowship here. Father, you did not set this place, and you did not set it here on this hillside right here on 58. Years ago, you did not put it upon Brother Cooley's heart and upon his mind, Father, for this church to go to the way it's going, to where the people won't even come in. Yes, Father, we don't need no one else. We need you. I need you, Lord. I need you more today than I've ever had in my lifetime. And Father, I know that you're there. And I know, Lord, that you want to bless this church. I know that, Father, because I know you. And I know what the Word of God says. If we will faithful unto thee, that you will do mighty things we cannot comprehend. Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, you'll keep us all close to thee. Father, as we're all close to thee, the Father, that we can be close to each other. That, Father, when someone has the pain or the agony or something that's come up in their heart, Lord Jesus, we ask, Father, that you may help us, Lord, that we can have concern for that individual. Father, yes, that we can feel your presence as we go about doing your work. Father, we want to do your work. We want to see the church grow. Yes, Lord, I would love to see a revival to break out in Virginia, in Daniel, and in Ringo, here at the church, Father. I would love to see it, Father. God, I know you're not going to bring it until we, as your children, are faithful to you. I know, Lord, we seem like maybe we've been faithful to you. But evidently, Lord, it's something that's not in my life or somebody's life, Father, is not right. Lord, I don't know what it is. Father, we ask God, Lord, bring it back to us in the forefront of our mind that we cannot help but think about it. Lord, yes, we can come to thee and ask you for forgiveness, Lord. You can cleanse us. You can crucify us once again. Father, all these things and all the prayer requests tonight, Lord, we leave them into thy hands. We leave them within thy heart. Lord, that you may see favor upon Faith Baptist Church and the people who are here. Father, give us something that we cannot expect. Father, we know Lord Jesus, your God, and you want to do something. Help us, Father, to be mindful to you. Help us, Father, that we may do what you ask us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.